नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Where we are, so that it will be easy for you to follow what is coming up. But before I start, you are Vedran, isn't it? No, Vedran? No?
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, that is Vedran 2. I'm looking for Vedran 1. No. Hey, Kandini? No. Vedran? No. It looks like Vedran. I want to summarize to you the developments, because there are many, many lessons which we can take from the life of Narada Muni. It's very valuable to understand the stations or phases through which he went on his spiritual journey. There was the life before he became Narada Muni, that is when he was a devata, a gandharva, a great singer, an angelic being, we would say, who committed a great mistake and was cursed to take birth on planet Earth. At a young age, he met the great saints who were passing by his home and needed a place to stay during the rainy season when traveling was impossible. And during the stay of these great saints in the home, very humble home of Narada Muni, he got the opportunity to hear from them about Krishna. Hare Krishna! I was just thinking of you just 10 minutes ago, and now you're here. Vandikini, I was thinking of you. After having this contact of the great saints and eating the foodstuffs which was left by them, Narada Muni developed the deep desire, Sanskrit is called matihi, to become a transcendentalist and a devotee. We were pausing at that time when we were discussing this and reflecting about the true effect of sadhu sangha. In the sadhu sangha, of the association with spiritually minded devotees of Lord Krishna, we will develop a very deep inclination towards spiritual life. Today I gave an interview and I said everyone has three hearts. The mechanical pump, the center of the emotion, or the emotional heart, and the spiritual heart. There's the pumpa, that's one heart. The emotional heart is the second heart, and the spiritual heart, the third. But most of the people have unfortunately lost spiritual heart. It's not active. It's heart failure. Spiritual heart failure. That's the greatest disease in modern time. And yesterday, some of the devotees were going into a wonderful experience where they went a little deeper inside than normal, and some of them made contact with that silent voice within, that spiritual heart. So when we go in the association of devotees, this spiritual heart, or this third heart, is created again, or is revived, I should say. Wiederbelebt, we say in German. The spiritual heart is, in many cases, not beating healthily, tum, tum, tum. Can beat, or it beats, boom. After 1 week. Boom. After 2 months. Boom. Very slow. But the association of spiritually minded devotees, this spiritual heart, or this tendency to engage in the practices of spiritual life, gets restored. The heart goes and comes to its healthy function. How is your spiritual heart at the moment, Jaigor? How is your spiritual heart at the moment in convening? Is it beating healthily? No need to say that. These are things you say in private, not in public. How is your spiritual heart, Premamurti? Is it functioning nicely? Is there anything which you can do to make it function better, to make it beat more energetically? Yes, there is. You have to go into the association of good devotees and hear in this association about Krishna or his devotees or his holy land Vrindavan, and at that time the spiritual heart again starts to move. Heart surgery is very necessary for most of us. And in order that this heart surgery takes place, programs like this are arranged in different towns, in different places, different countries, where we invite devotees of the Lord who can speak about Krishna and who can revive our spiritual heart. And, persons who do this, we are saying Tava Katam Muritam. You are Burijan. Burijan means you are spreading benefit to all of us. You are good people, and we have association with them. So Narayana Muni, after having this association with the devotees, became inclined towards Krishna. And then his poor mother died an early death. He left home to go through the forest. On this journey, he practiced full dependency on Krishna, who maintained him. You know, he was only 5 years old, but he went through different countries. He went even into a dark forest where there were ferocious animals. But Krishna was there in his heart protecting him. And finally, Narada Muni went to a banyan tree and started to meditate. And it is very nicely described. When he meditated, Krishna made his appearance step by step, kora pakora. First, Narada Muni could smell the beautiful fragrance of Lord Krishna. Then he heard sound of the ankle bells. Krishna has bells on his ankles and the feet. And finally he saw the beautiful smiling face of the Lord, which was framed by his dark, dark curly hairs. And the most beautiful thing in that face of Krishna, who knows, is that the what is the most beautiful feature of Krishna's face?
Smile.
Yes, you know everything. The smile of Lord Krishna is when you see it, the ocean of tears becomes dry. There's an ocean in this material world. It's not exactly the ocean before split. It is an abstract ocean. It is filled every day by billions of liters of tears from the wounded hearts of the people who cry in this material world out of their suffering. But as when someone sees Krishna's smile, this ocean of tears will dry up and one becomes happy. This is explained like this. So we became very excited, as it is natural for someone who has a God realization, and out of excitement he lost the vision. And then he tried to again take this step-by-step meditation and process and go through the different methods and techniques. He remained unsuccessful. Prabhupada explains so nicely that there is no mechanical process to see the Lord. It's absolutely dependent on the mercy of Krishna. This morning, or the other mornings also, we had, for the devotees who could make the time to come, japa sessions where we give guided guided japa sessions. But I really want to say, you can learn the Traktaka method, you can learn the Sambandha method, you can do abhyasa with your shravanam, different techniques to increase the listening power. But all these techniques have to step aside and go back when it comes to experience. The real experience happens only by the mercy of Krishna, not by your techniques. Still, techniques are not altogether useless, because by doing these techniques, like listening with full attention, we show Krishna that we really care and we really want to have His mercy. But the techniques in themselves are never ever the cause for God realization. Otherwise, God would be subordinate to the human being. The human being knows the right techniques. This would, you know, if the techniques would bring God, then it would be just a matter of learning the right techniques and bringing God under the control and pulling Him away from the spiritual world in our experience. No, this will never work. But still, as we try in our spiritual life our very best, Krishna will give the rest. And that is His mercy. Anyway, so Narada Muni tried and tried, and finally, when he remained unsuccessful, and the divine vision which he had did not come again, the Lord spoke to him. He did not appear to him didn't give him his darshan, but, and that is, was already very nice, he spoke to him. And he said, Narada Muni. Damayanti gets fired up. Narada Muni, I regret that in this life you will not see me again. Why not? Because those who are not yet perfect in their surrender can hardly see me. However, be encourage, be peaceful. You have seen me once, and this one darshan is enough, because now you will again and again hanker for this for me. You want to see me again. By this type of desire, this hankering, all the contaminated or toxic things in the heart will be clearly washed away. You can understand, if a poor man gets a beautiful jewel and then loses it, he will for the rest of his life want to have that jewel. Once a devotee told me that he had seen a movie where one poor man lost the ninth ring, or was it the seventh ring, some ring, and this poor man was searching. He lost a very valuable ring which could give him everything. It was something like fulfilling desires. I don't remember very clearly. It's from the Lord of the Rings. But then this poor person, for the rest of his life, was only engaged in one thing. Where is that ring? Where is that ring? Where is that ring? Maybe you have heard about this. So this is when you have something very valuable, and when you then lose it, you will only think of that loss. Maybe a valuable friendship, and the friendship breaks. You will remember, moi priyatelya, dobro priyatelya, the best friend. Oh no, and you will never be able to, and you will always think of restoring the friendship. And every other friend who comes your way, you will see their best friend, no? Because you will hanker to have that friendship. Yeah. So, by this hankering, so if you imagine you have seen Krishna, then you lose him. Ooh, you will become a God-intoxicated person. There will be only one question in your heart. Where is
Krishna?
Krishna, that's a good question. If you forget everything, you remember this question. Where is Krishna? We are very unfortunate. We ask the wrong questions. Where is the pizza? Where is the relief from heat? Where is a good, where is this or where is that? But our question should be,
Where is Krishna?
Yes. The one relationship which can fulfill the hankerings of our soul. So Narada Muni was cured by this darshan, and he was now hankering again and again to have the Krishna. This is a method which Krishna often applies. He may have applied this method in your life also, where you felt him a little bit closer in the beginning of your spiritual life, but then you lost him again, huh? Or lost the connection with Krishna consciousness, and you feel a little frustrated, and it shows in the size of your bodies, because someone who loses love, he will eat more. He will try to compensate that missing part of love and develop an impressive physical size. He will be very healthy looking, as the Indians say. Yes. But please, you need to understand, when Krishna was once more present in your life, and he's not so present in your life any longer, he wants to show you that you must come to more mature level in your spiritual life. You should go to the next level in your Krishna consciousness, and then you will find him again on that next level. Krishna explains this to the gopis after Krishna had called the gopis. He had stood by the bank of the Yamuna under a beautiful tree. It's called the flute tree, Vamsivat. And he had played his flute and called the gopis. When he called the gopis by the song of his flute, all the beautiful Braj gopis left their homes and came to him. It looked as if different streams came from different locations and joined in one big stream, a big stream of gopis who came to that tree under which Krishna was playing his flute. And then Krishna called them and disappeared from them. But after they had seen Krishna, he disappeared from them and only appeared after some time. He explained why he had done so. He said, for those surrendered souls who worship me through Naam Kirtan and other means, I do not respond. I want to make their worship more perfect. O gopis, who cannot understand my real intention. When these surrendered souls don't see me any longer, they develop deep feelings of humility and they feel alas. Auvaya, we say in the Swami language. Everything I have done has been useless. I am an offender. Krishna has not shown even the slightest favor toward me. Let me be damned. By constantly thinking in this humble way, those who have not yet developed mature love for me will become free from lust and anger and awaken pure devotion full of power and brilliance. Do you see the point? Krishna removes himself in order to increase our hankering. So, then Krishna stopped speaking to Narada Muni. He had spoken in an Akashvani, that means a voice which came from the sky. And when he stopped speaking, Narada Muni paid his obeisances to the direction from where the voice had come into his ears. And then he did something very special. He understood my Lord wanted to teach me that I cannot see him with these eyes, but I can hear him with my ears. My Lord has not a form which is visible with the sight, the eyes. My Lord has a form which can be perceived with the ears. So I should not now start to see him again. I should start to become qualified to hear him. Prabhupada made this point very often. He said, why do you want to see God? We want to hear God. Isn't hearing also an proof that someone exists? Today, we phoned Melko for a critical advice on a movie which they will, a documentary movie which they present. And I was there and I overheard the conversation in the sweet Croatian language, and I understood by the conversation, that Velka was there. We were able to hear him through the telephone. So Prabhupada made this point. Why do you want to see God? Try to hear him. We know the telephone number of God. It's
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
As, so, Narada Muni, how do you say this in proper English? Er hat das praktisch umgesetzt. Das war German, by the way. Narada Muni took this essential wisdom and practiced it in his life. He himself says, thus I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation. I was ignoring all the formalities of the material world. Such chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are a blessing to one and all. So doing, I traveled all over the earth, fully satisfied, humble, and unenvious, not envious. This is a very important message from the life of Narada Muni. The Lord is Alinga, is Nabhalingam, personified by the sound, and he is Alingam, unseen by the eyes. Another description which Narada Muni gives of the Lord is, he is Manchamurtim, he is a form made of transcendental sound, and he is otherwise amurtikam, without any material form which can be perceived by the ears. We are a sound religion. We are not an eye religion. Have you noticed this? We are not about the seeing this and that and so on. We are about hearing. We are not about seeing God, but hearing God. It's a total different concept. And I believe that not all of you have understood this. We want to hear the Lord. We know we will not be able to see him. What do you think about this? It's an interesting new idea, isn't it? My dear devotees and my dear skeptics, I must tell you something very personal. I came into a personal crisis about 20 years ago because I could see my spiritual life. I was not really going anywhere. And I had given a vow when I joined our movement. My vow was, whenever I should see that this doesn't work for me, I will leave it and look somewhere else for God. That was my vow. So I was now in a situation, I just thought, I'm already practicing 20 years Krishna consciousness, but my heart is full of still of material desires. I'm sometimes envious of others. I want to be praised. I have all these dirty things in my heart. This means the process does not work for me. But I was in a dilemma. My dilemma was, I had seen my spiritual master and I had by now heard him very many lectures I had heard, and I had read a lot of books. In fact, I had translated the Bhagavad Gita which he wrote, and to leave the movement was conceivable, but to leave Prabhupada was inconceivable, and is inconceivable. To leave the movement is also now not conceivable for me, but I'm describing, I hope you understand properly and will not spread wrongly, like I often notice happens in Croatia. It was 20 years ago. I'm not speaking about now. Huh? 20 years. Why do you laugh? This is sad that it needs to be said so clearly. So, the point here is, then I decided, let me study Srila Prabhupada and let me find out what he is telling us, how we can come to Krishna consciousness. And I went very deep in Prabhupada's books, and I asked many of my exalted God brothers, and after going deep I found out Prabhupada said that from the chanting of the holy name people realize the form, the qualities, and finally the pastimes of Krishna. He says this in many, many places. And then I said, well, let me try. And I tried to learn the chanting, and now I'm convinced that it works. So that's why I'm very convinced. I try to talk and share this wonderful things from my exalted spiritual master, this understanding. So, but Narada Muni chanted in a special way, and I feel we can learn from him. He said, I was fully satisfied, I was completely free from all material desires, I was not proud, and I was not envious on others. Does this remember you of something? Remember, not remember, remind you of something. What does this mean?
To be humble, like
grass, and... To be humble, says Amrita Kheri, that means Narada Muni says here, I was not proud, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. What other qualities we should develop so that the chanting will work for us?
Tolerance.
Humility. Tolerance. He says here, Tushtamana, I was satisfied. Fully satisfied means things must have happened to him, like he went in the forest, there must have been mosquitoes. And there must have been snakes. And there must have been dangers. Maybe he walked and then he stepped into the dung of a tiger. Oh, have you stepped into tiger dung? It's so acidic, it burns the foot. But he tolerated all of this. Tolerant, what else is there?
Respectful.
Being respectful, did I hear this?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not expecting others, but...
Being respectful and not expecting respect. That is here Vimatsara. He was free from envy, this envy nature. Do you know this envy nature? Envious nature. Someone, today I saw Gogovinda swimming in the Adriatic Sea, and the butterfly style of an Olympian champion. And I always wanted the back. He did the back butterfly. I always wanted to fly and in swimming. And for the first time in my life, I didn't feel envious. I could understand some advancement I have made in all these years. So, unenvious. Normally we are, he can do something which I can do. We feel so sad in our heart and so envious of another person. So these are the qualities which Narada Muni says. If you want to write them down, Jai Krishna, because you want to become a Kirtan, Kirtaniya, fully satisfied, that means tolerant. Don't go after material desires. You know, try to be satisfied on the spiritual platform. Then avoid pride without being proud. And then avoid envy, being without envious. These things help you. I'm almost at the end, but I wanted to read to you something about the sound religion, or that we want to see Krishna through sound. There is a very nice lecture which Prabhupada gave, and he said, stick to the holy names of Krishna. You will get the same benefit as Prahlad Maharaj got by the direct touch of the lotus palm of Nrisimhadev. Prahlad Maharaj, he was in so much danger, in so much trouble. There was someone out to kill him, and this person who was out to kill him was his own Otats, his own father. The father, imagine, for a little boy, the father wants to murder the boy. This is something for the Bild Zeitung, you know, the scandalous newspaper. It is, it's the ultimate fear, you know. There is, unfortunately, a lot of domestic violence in Dalmatia, and in Croatia, and in Germany and America. It's increasing, the domestic violence. So this was a case of severe abuse, child abuse. And then Prahlad Maharaj was touched by the lotus palm of Nrisimhadev. We have this deity here. Do you see Prahlad Maharaj is on the lap of Nrisimhadev? He's purple, totally peaceful. So when you stick to the holy names of Krishna, says Prabhupada, you will get the same benefit as Prahlad Maharaj got by direct touch of the lotus palm of Nrisimhadev. This is sound religion, no? There is no difference. Always think like that. Yeah, this is something for you to think. That as soon as you are chanting Hare Krishna, you must know that you are touching Krishna with your tongue. Then you get the same benefit as Prahlad Maharaj. Think like this. Always, says Prabhupada, that as soon as you are chanting Hare Krishna, you must know that you are touching Krishna with your tongue. Sound religion. Then Narada Muni's time of death came. That's very interesting. As he, when his body died, and as he gave up his body, just in the same second, he developed a spiritual body. It was just like when I bring my hands together, there's immediately the sound, clap. So, or when the clouds which are accumulating over the mountains, finally we saw some clouds today, when they come together, immediately there is a lightning. So when a devotee is hit by death, immediately there is his spiritual form perfect voice. Very nice, very nice. At the event, and this is very glorious, are you sometimes afraid of your own death? It's an interesting question. I sometimes think everyone dies. Doesn't seem to be so difficult. It happens. But when I see these very, you know, there's sometimes pain is there. And if you don't have someone near who is knowing how to manage the pain, maybe by giving care and so on. Most of the time I don't think about it. And when I think about it, half of the time I think, no problem. But the other half, I must admit, how and where will I go? I usually think about where will I go. For the dying person, there are usually four types of fear. The first fear is, oh no, I have to leave everything behind. My shirts, my car, but more important, my family, my home, my land, everything, Nisha, gone. The second fear is, oh no, maybe I have wasted valuable opportunities in my life. I didn't really make good use of this human form of life. The third fear is, oh no, I'm not sure where I will go now. There's a famous poet in Germany. When he died, he said, Seele, was jetzt? You know, soul, what will happen now? A very nice poem. Seele, was jetzt? In the local language, we would maybe say, Dusha, Sto Sada. For now, no, Sto Sada. Dusha, Sto Sada. Where will I go now? And then, I'm not certain what my future will bring me. Maybe I have to be born as a farmer in North Germany, or then in a farmer's house, and after some time, hopefully I meet devotees, or hopefully it's devotee farmers. You know, it's there are many unknown things at the moment of death, but for Narada Muni, he gave up the body, and immediately, like a flash, developed his spiritual body. It happened at the end of creation, and everything and everyone was drawn into Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu was breathing. When he breathed this out, the creation comes. And after a long time, when he breathes in again, the whole creation with everyone and every soul just enters his body and stays there for an incredible amount of time, not just for a few minutes or so, no, for kalpas, eons, billions, trillions of years. And then Mahavishnu was breathing out again. Something wonderful happened. Everyone came out in a different form. Only Narada Muni came out like he is. When Narada Muni entered, he looked like this. Please look at him. Was breathed in. He was singing Hare Krishna. No problem. And when Mahavishnu breathed out, he came out again like this. Amazing. All the other rishis, they had changed their forms. Not Narada Muni, because he was in his spiritual body. That is the perfection of chanting. When Prabhupada came and visited us in Germany, he had a long talk with a very spiritually minded priest. And he said to him, I have not come to preach philosophy to you. I just come to ask you for one thing. Please chant Hare Krishna, purify your heart, and realize your constitutional position. It means who you are and your spiritual identity. This way, that's all. Chant Hare Krishna, then what?
Purify your heart.
Purify the heart, then
realize
your true spiritual nature or your constitutional position. Constitutional position means the way you are constituted, you are made. That is the spiritual. Narada Muni, at the end of this section, says to Vyasadeva, you know, he's telling all this to his disciple Vyasadeva, and he says, you know, Vyasadeva, Krishna's name, it is glories, are so pleasing to the heart. So pleasing to the heart. That when I start chanting, my experience is that Lord Krishna immediately comes and he sits down on the seat of my heart and he stays with me. That's my experience when I chant. Narada Muni says, wouldn't it be nice if this could happen to all of us? There is a prayer to Narada Muni which I want to pray with all of you. The prayer says, all glory and success to Srila Narada Muni, because he glorifies the activities of the personality of Godhead. In so doing, he himself takes pleasure and also enlivens all the distressed souls of the universe. Another, I have more materials on Narada Muni, but I believe tomorrow is snow and Sunday also. This is the last session. You have completed your katha. Some of you were all the time with us, others were part of the times with us, but there will be recordings available, I believe. You can hear this, when you hear this talks about Krishna and his devotees, the sinful karmic reactions in your heart will leave you and you will become attracted to Krishna. I wanted to sing with you at the end a song about Narada Muni. Our devotees have written the song down. It is somewhere here, not yet ready. A little bit. So maybe we should be fast. Mm-hmm. Yes. Then let us ask others some questions, which I could answer now before we sing a song tomorrow. Yes, what is your question? Nityananda Kariya, Amrita Kelly, I see you. I think we have a microphone for you. Maybe not just now, seems to be.
It's very short.
Yes,
please. It's just, can you give us just the reference of this part where Srila Prabhupada says that when we are chanting, we are touching Krishna with the tongue?
Yes.
Want to put it in the new book.
It's in the lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, text 6, 7, 9, 6. It was given in Sridhar Mayapur on the 26th of February 1977.
Lives and how he reached from the beginning to the end, and there is a kind of analogy to our own spiritual life that we also should actually know in which phase we are, in certain areas in our life and what to stress the most, what is our issue now, how to overcome certain stones, and there is actually the moment where we have to make certain decisions, and what certain phases, like for example there is a part of our lives where we maybe put our spiritual life behind and maybe material life in front, like Prabhupada did when he was familiar in family working, and then in one point in our life we have to go on with the spiritual life, and certain phases in our lives are also present. And it's actually important to know where we are standing.
Where we are and what are our next decisions and our next steps.
Our next steps.
Mm-hmm. And how to know that.
Yeah, and the map. A certain kind of a map. Narada Muni's life is like a map for us in Prabhupada's life. Also. They went to the...
I will repeat Amrita Kelly's questions. See if I do it nicely. I will. Please correct me if I'm leaving parts out. We can learn from these great souls who teach by their example, I believe you are concerned, how do I practically know where I am, at which phase, and what is important now, and what are the next steps to do. In a very nice point, you will have to listen a little carefully, a little challenge your intelligence a little bit now. You can't think yourself out of situations which you have brought yourself in by acting. Only by acting can you move to the next step. Let me explain this. In the self-improvement schools, often heard in ISKCON also, we say, oh, I have to work on this now. I have to think about what they mean, what they mean is I have to hear about them, I have to analyze and I have to understand and so on. But life is not like this. Life demands that you, life works like this. If you act properly, by your activities, you will come on a level where you then will know what to do. I have faced this, many people ask, what is my dharma? Where's my place? What should I do now? And I always tell them, you have to follow the dharma codex, the key to unlock the mysteries of your life. And the dharma codex means you must act with four things. You must speak the truth and live the truth. It's a little austere, I know. And you must live a disciplined life. Ooh, I need a daily discipline. No, not me. Please, these are serious things. It's not nice if we should, it's very low class if we laugh about someone else. That we, when we do this, laugh about an unfortunate situation of someone else, we are entering a very low class mentality. And maybe here, I will not give personal examples any longer. It's not good. We need discipline, that is to put the right thing before our whims, our immediate desires. Then purity is important. Ooh. And finally, we need to act compassionate. When you act according to this Dharma Codex, four principles of Dharma, truthfulness, discipline, purity, and compassion towards others, then you will raise in your life to a level where you know how to do and what are the next steps. But if you always think about what are the next steps, mislite, and brichate, you will never, this will not be shown to you. This, I feel, is a very important difference between spiritual philosophy and spiritual care to normal material self-help schools and self-help endeavors. It's by doing the right thing that you will come to a level where everything is clear. For instance, following orders of a higher person, a spiritual master. When you do this, all of a sudden, rise. You will rise up, you will come up, and you will be able to see things and understand things which you can never ever think and understand on your own. It's just not possible. When you follow the Dharma Codex, you unlock the secrets of the universe and everything is clear before you. When you don't know what you should do, when you are on one level, do you think that you now think as a person who doesn't know, all of a sudden by thinking, you will know? It's almost like like you are darkness and you bring some more darkness. Will you ever see what is going on? I don't know if I'm clear. When someone is stuck, I've just seen someone in the crowd who's stuck since many years in the same position. Do you think by now thinking or hearing a look cause from Anthony Robbins, you know, the power lies within, you know, do you think by hearing this pep talk you will all of a sudden be enlightened? No, because you see things the way you see, not the way they are, but the way you are. You do not see the things the way they are, you see them the way you are. Very important understanding. This is short-sighted, it comes from the psychology of perception, you know. There are many, many, much research is done on this. So, you need to do the right things, because by doing the right things, all of a sudden you come on another level. So many devotees are stuck. They do not make advancement. It seems that for the last 10 years, they are moving on one place. And they feel not satisfied with this. They feel very unsatisfied with their lives. And then they look for alternatives, for a compromised life, to spiritual life. This is very sad to see. Very sad to see. Because they are such good people. They deserve the highest. They deserve so much. But they will only be able to come to that platform, not by misliti, not even maybe by another lecture or another preaching. Now they need to act on the spiritual platform. On this spiritual platform, or acting on the spiritual platform, will help them to rise to the level where they understand immediately. Very good question. Please, I was very sad that some of you laughed. This is a problem which all of us have. You were laughing about yourself a few minutes ago. This is a very important question. What are my next steps? Every one of us should think about it. Everyone should have an answer for this. This is not something to laugh about. This is something to act upon. We require answers. So this is very important to understand. Tomorrow I will talk more on this subject. The deep subject. Now, yes. Thank you. Anuradha, is it all right if this devotee, he comes from Alachua, all the way from Alachua. Do you give his your question to him? Yes, good. What is your good name again? Govinda.
Govinda.
Yeah.
I was trying to understand more deeply the difference between emotional and spiritual heart.
Yes. You want to understand more deeply the difference between the emotional and the spiritual heart. Mm-hmm. Could you try to speak in the sweet local language?
Yes, помощь вот этой намраджа разлику измежу духовного сердца и эмоционального сердца, то что оба два ключи.
Mm-hmm. Where does this all come from? Physical heart, emotional heart, spiritual heart. It comes from the simple understanding body, mind, and soul. So, we know what is the body. The mind is
thinking, feeling, emotions, and willing. No? These are, and we know what is the soul is eternally full of knowledge and full of bliss. So, when we express things like this, the emotion, the physical heart, we mean the physical level. When we say the emotional heart, we mean the mental level, or the level of the mind. And when we talk about the spiritual heart, we refer to the spiritual level. The physical level, for the physical level we need physical well-being, for the emotional level, emotional well-being, for the spiritual well-being. And I have expressed this in an analogous way. Prabhupada said we have to purify the heart. It means the heart, the spiritual heart is now covered. We have to purify it. But it's a way of expressing it. He could have also said we have to purify the soul, which he also said, but sometimes we say we have to purify the heart. It's in other words, pretty, we know it's just a way of saying it. Dobro. So, I will. Let us see what it does. Now it starts to get cool. Then we should have Anuradha's question and then see. Anuradha, what is your question?
Thank you, Maharaj, for this wonderful talk. Thank you. My question was, if Narada Muni gained his spiritual body, why did he have to enter the body of Mahavishnu and then go get... I mean, if he had his spiritual body, he had access to planets of Vaikuntha. He could go
He could have gone back to God.
Yes, why did he have to enter?
Wonderful question, Anuradha. Have you understood Anuradha's question? Or maybe you did a Saraswati locality. Yes.
Moje pitanje je bilo, ako je Narada Muni dobio duhovno tijelo, zašto je morao ući u tijelo Mahavišnjima u vrijeme kad Mahavišnju udiše, kad se cijela kreacija povlači, zašto je morao opet izaći u istom obliku? Obično kad dobijemo duhovno tijelo i idemo u duhovno tijelo.
Sometimes, Anuradha, Krishna does not take his devotees in the eternal spiritual world, but he wants them to keep on preaching in the material world. Narada Muni is a very special case. He is different from that case. Narada Muni is actually a great associate of the Lord, who is the preacher in the preacher in this universe. He travels from universe to universe. He's the eternal space traveler, so to say. His service to Krishna is to preach. And he has many disciples, like Prahlad Maharaj. He preached to Prahlad. He preached to Dhruva Maharaj. Many Thakuraris. So he somehow is kept by the Lord in the material world. But let us not be an illusion. If he wants, and the Lord wants, he can also go to Goloka, to the spiritual world. But somehow in this pastime, Krishna wanted him to revolve. and go through this, go through Mahavishnu, go into Mahavishnu and go out of Mahavishnu. But we should not think he's limited to Mahavishnu. There are great leelas which I wanted to, if I have another opportunity to talk, how he goes to Vrindavan, he he lives actually at Vrindavan, he has his place in Narada Kund. But Krishna wants here to show he is my preacher in the material world, but in this Lila, in these days, Narada Muni is a, can just change the dimensions like this. And he is the, oops, he's with Krishna, and he sometimes goes to Vaikuntha, he's suddenly again here with us. And he is therefore Shukadeva Goswami says, all glories for Narada Muni. He himself takes pleasure in chanting and also enlivens all the distressed souls of the universe. So now we will end this program by glorifying Narada Muni. We have made the text for you. This will take now a little bit work to put it on. I will just practice the lights with Jai Krishna. I just see you there. I know you have to. Can you somehow give a little bit more volume for this now? Yes. Oh, yes. I will adjust. Yes. No, no. I can go a little in the distance. Perfect. This describes a kirtan of Narada Muni, a universal kirtan in which many people join. It's really a kirtan. It says all the inhabitants of the universe become maddened upon entering this kirtan. Some people cry, some dance, and others are fully intoxicated in their minds. Thank you so much. It's like a piece of art she made. Why have you closed the door? Is there a reason? Because we sing. Aha. When we sing, we must close the door. But we're not singing. Then we can open the doors. Are you ready to sing?
Yes.
I like this song very much. We used to sing it with Nityananda band. When you were young and you met us, you must have heard this another hit from the former Yugoslavia. I pray that I can find the right melody, but it can't work. Mm-hmm. think these two devotees are perfectionists. It's good. No, please, please, finally, we meet. It's like, can we just be almost in 5 minutes we will talk like anything. Everyone will talk like you. They never talked before in their lives. So just a little bit more concentration, please. So there is a kirtan which is described, a kirtan in which Lord Shiva joins Narada Muni and embraces him. And Brahma starts to dance, and they all shout, Hari Hari Bol!
Hari Hari Bol!
Yes. And then, all of a sudden, a problem starts. Ananta Shesha, on whose head the universe rests, begins to swing back and forth. This is a little, you call it in the Polspok, you know, the jumping of the pole from south to north. It's really problematic. And Ananda Shesha sings a chorus out, Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Yeah. The holy name of Sri Krishna thus fulfills everyone's heart with pleasure. Thank you so much. Really, very, very nice. All right. Narada Muni. Is there someone who can play part of this
Thank you. Hari Hari Bodhi Hari. Thank you. Come on. Narikar ki Shri Narada Muni ki Shri Goni Dhai ki Gaura Premanandi Hare Krishna. Please sit down for one second. We want to invite Mother Yanti if she is here. Mother Yanti will just explain to all of us very